Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Let's get into the Word this evening. Father, we want to thank you that as we dig into the Word, that your Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us in truth. Thank you that church isn't about a building, but it's about us coming together to be able to hear your Word, to be able to fellowship together, encourage one another, receive ministry, give ministry. It's just an opportunity for us to come together. And I thank you that it doesn't matter where we are, we can enjoy and have a great time with you. Thank you that your Word is alive and active, and we're going to have fun in it tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We have a series, which I'm concluding this evening, entitled Understanding the Importance of Wine. So if you missed out last week or this morning, the morning services and the evening services last week and this week were different. And so next week we'll make available the whole series on MP3, and you can get the CD. So then you've got all four teachings, and then it'll make more sense to you. But last week we looked at the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham's covenant, the covenant that God had with Abraham. This morning we looked at the covenant that God had with Moses. And this evening we're looking at the covenant with Jesus. You can keep Genesis for me there, please. Fill up my Bible now. So, Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 36 and 37. Jesus speaking, he says, "No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new makes a tear, and the piece that was taken out of it agrees not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. New wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved." And so what Jesus is saying there is he's talking about covenants, and that's the whole purpose of the series, is for us to be able to understand covenants, because covenant is the way that God relates to us. Okay, that's what a covenant is, the way God relates to us. And so it's important for us to understand what covenant are we in and how does God relate to us in order for us to enjoy our relationship with God, etc. Okay, and the what really put this on my heart while we're digging into this is because I realize a lot of Christians don't understand anything about covenants. We're trying to live New Testament Christianity under old covenant principles, and we're mixing the two and it doesn't work. Okay, so, you know, in life groups, we've been going through the same topic. We've been going through this the past 2 weeks, and this whole month we've been talking about the old versus new, and just trying to help everyone get established in this to be able to understand how God relates to you. Okay, now what Jesus was basically saying in Luke chapter 5, firstly, is he was saying, you know, if you took an old garment, an old shirt, and it had a tear in it, and you tried to take new cloth and put it over the old hole, what would happen when you wash that material, the old had already stretched, the new hadn't stretched, and so the new would stretch and tear the old, and it would be worse. The whole garment would be destroyed. Okay, and what that's symbolic of is Jesus is saying, hey, you know, you can look at the old covenant as though it wasn't perfect, it had holes. And what Jesus is saying is the new covenant didn't come to patch up the old covenant. The new covenant cannot patch up and make sure that all the holes are, you know, the Bible calls the old covenant, it calls it imperfect. Okay, that's one of the ways it describes it. So that means that it can't be patched up. And what Jesus is saying through that is that he didn't come to patch up the old covenant, but he came to replace it. Okay, then with the wine, which is where we get the title for the series, is that you couldn't take new wine, which is unfermented grape juice. Some of you know about this better than me. You can't take I'm just joking. Darren got that. You can't take a grape juice, which isn't fermented yet, and put it into an old bottle, because the old wineskin, because what would happen is, with the expansion of gases, it would want to expand the wineskin, and the wineskin is already expanded. And so now the gases are pushing it further, which means it's going to burst. You're going to lose the wine and the wineskin. And so what Jesus is saying there is that the old covenant can't stretch far enough to accommodate the new covenant truths of grace and truth and love, grace and mercy. It can't, you know, the two can't mix. Another scripture just to illustrate that point, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse, had the same problem this morning because I'm using a different Bible. Not very clever, is it? 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, who brought the law? Okay, the law came through Moses. God brought the law, right? Just a trick question. But, okay, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. So it's like two sides of a coin. They're opposite. That also means that the law doesn't come through Jesus, and grace and truth doesn't come through the law or Moses. And a lot of people think, you know, that you can just mix the two. But Jesus, the word here in John chapter 1 is clearly saying that they don't mix. It's old or new, it's law or grace. They can't mix. Another scripture just to illustrate the point, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 verse 6 illustrates it beautifully. It says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, works being law, then it is no more of grace, otherwise works is no more works." So basically what it's saying is that law and grace don't mix. Okay, you can't have, it's one or the other. You can't be stuck in two covenants. And that's the problem with a lot of believers, a lot of Christians, is we're confused. We read verses like we're going to get to later in Deuteronomy 28. It says, these are all the blessings that you can experience. You would have heard it if you've been saved for a while. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the barn, blessed in your fruit, blessed in your barn, blessed every, blessed, 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 like that song. And it's just saying that you're blessed everywhere. Okay, and we all kind of read that and we go, I want to be blessed, so how do I do that? Let me read the whole chapter. And it says that if I obey all of God's commandments, I'll experience all of this blessing. So then we put ourselves under a bondage of trying to live up to all God's commandments, which is impossible. We spoke about it this morning. And then what do? You're expecting to be blessed, but you don't, so you get frustrated. Verse 15 of chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, it goes on and it says, if you fail in one of these commandments which God gives you, you're going to get all of these curses, and it takes all the blessings and it reverses it. We're going to look at it later. And so if you don't understand covenants, if you don't understand how God relates to you now where you're living in the new covenant, then you're going to be confused when you read the Bible. If you don't understand that Jesus changed everything, you're going to go back to go and read through the old covenant. And let's pretend you don't know anything about Jesus and what he's accomplished, and you start reading Genesis, Exodus, and you go all the way through the Bible. You know, by the end of that, you'll probably be depressed. Because of all the law and this, if you don't see Jesus in it and how the old covenant is pointing towards the new, pointing towards Jesus, you're going to get depressed. So you need to read the old with the new in mind, with the greatest event in history, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus. So we looked at the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. And basically what we said with that was that it was God made promises to Abraham and his descendants based on pedigree. You're born into the right family. Okay? So that's the first covenant that we looked at. There are more than three covenants, but we looked at the three major ones. Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Abraham's covenant was the one of you're born into the right family, and so now you're blessed, blessed, blessed. And when we looked at it, it was very interesting because we looked at a lot of scripture through the series. And Abraham and his descendants weren't that great. Okay, they moaned, they griped, they complained, they whined, they were rebellious at times. There was a whole lot of issues that they had. They didn't walk holy and live holy and all of that type of stuff. And every time they whined and complained and whatever, God blessed them. And God looked after them. They're in the desert, there's no food, there's no water. God provides for them. The water they get it's bitter. And so what do? They complain to God. We're in the desert. There's 3 million Jews in the desert. They complain to God. God, you know, the water that you've given us, this miracle provision is bitter. Did you bring us out here to die? And they're just moaning and crying and complaining. What does God do? He turns the water and it makes it sweet. So he just like blesses them, blesses them, blesses them. Then the law comes. We looked at it this morning. Straight away, someone goes and breaks one law. Picks up sticks on the Sabbath to go and make a fire or make food or something. I don't know. But he's picking up sticks. What happens? Gets stoned to death. You have Korah, one of the people who was there with Moses. He starts griping and complaining about the leader, Moses. Okay, now this is not under law, not under Abraham. Okay, This is under law. And under Moses, under the Ten Commandments. And Korah then started raising or rallying people against Moses, against God's appointed leadership. He rallied 250 people with him. And they were all like moaning against Moses. What happened? God opens up the earth, swallows Korah and his family, the earth. And then all of the people who rallied with Korah, he kills them. And it's like, what happened? There was all this gracious God, and now all of a sudden it's just judgment and wrath because the covenant changed. But then we saw this morning how, so Moses was a covenant of performance. You had to perform right in order to be blessed. Abraham was a covenant of a promise because of pedigree. You're born into the right family, you're blessed. Then Moses came and you're born into the right family and you have to perform and then you're blessed. And that was obviously a temporary solution. It wasn't a permanent one, because then Jesus came and it changed absolutely everything. Okay, absolutely everything. And so we're going to look at the new covenant. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is really good news what we're looking at this evening. And if you've never heard stuff like this, I know it might be a bit of a challenge. But stick with us. It's awesome. This is what really impacted and changed my life. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read 3 to 6. It says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him," say in Him, "before the foundation of the world, before that we should be holy and without blame, before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved." So say, accepted in the Beloved. Okay, so what this is basically saying is, now our position as believers is in Christ. Okay, when you 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation." So as a believer, as someone who's born again, you're in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And so now it doesn't matter what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter what your family line is. It doesn't matter if you're a LaRue or a Holsgrove or can't think of any other surnames right now. But whatever your surname is, it doesn't matter. What your surname is, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter if you're born Jew, if you're born Gentile, if you're born whatever, what country or anything like this. It doesn't matter what your performance is, because all of our performance fluctuates. Sometimes you're doing good, sometimes you're not doing good. Right? Okay, some of you do always good, right? Some of you are always doing bad. No, we always fluctuate. Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're bad. Okay? But this is scripture is saying is that God has blessed us and relates to us purely because of our position in Christ. Not because of your performance and not because you were born into a specific family. Doesn't matter how good your family is. Because you're accepted in the Beloved, you're blessed. Amen. Verse 3 says, "You are blessed," past tense, "with every spiritual blessing in Christ." You're in Christ, and because you're in Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. That's good news. It means that just because you got placed in Christ, you're blessed. With Abraham, it was, you're born into the right family, and then you're blessed. With Moses, it was, once you perform right, then you're blessed. With us, you're born again, and you're automatically blessed. And it doesn't matter what your performance is. When you're not doing so well and you're really just not living right and all that type of stuff, you know what? God still wants to bless you. God still wants you to be blessed and experience His blessing in your life. When you're living right and everything, sometimes we feel like we deserve the blessing. We don't deserve it, but God still wants to bless us. So, you know, we are God's people, we're His treasured possession, rightful heirs of His presence, His provisions, the covenant blessing, simply because we're in Him. So now if you look at it like this, you know, the Bible calls us co-heirs with Christ. So what I want you to see is now in the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with Abraham, that how God related to His people under Abraham, it was based on pedigree. Jesus is the perfect pedigree, if you think about it. Jesus came from the perfect family, born Son of God, right? Even of the line of David. So there's all sorts of things. He's the perfect pedigree. And you know what that makes it? That means that because we're in Christ, we have the perfect pedigree. So just because you're in Christ, you have the perfect pedigree. With Moses, it was, you need perfect performance, and we looked at it this morning. Now, because we're in Christ, Jesus performed perfectly. So now we're in Christ means our performance, His performance gets us all the blessing. Because we're in Christ, we deserve the blessings of Abraham. Because we're in Christ, we deserve the blessing of the Moses law, and Moses covenant, because He performed well on our behalf. Okay? So if that's a bit too much for you, I encourage you to get the morning's message and listen to it over and over, because that's really what we dug into. When you look at the fact that Jesus is really the rightful heir to all of Abraham's blessing, and now because we're in Him, we get it all. It just shows how much, you know, I explained it like this last week. You got a healthcare package level 1, hospital benefits. Or, then you got level 2. And I should really go and check out how to explain this better, right? Level 2, you've got a little bit more than that, right? You've got hospital care plus something, whatever those somethings are. Then you've got level 3, which is full comprehensive everything. Does the full comprehensive everything include hospital benefits? Yes. The better always includes everything of the lesser. It doesn't exclude something, otherwise it wouldn't be better. The same with the new covenant. It's a better covenant, the Bible calls it, established on better promises. And so we have all the blessing of the old covenant and the Abrahamic covenant, none of the curses. We're saved from all the wrath because of disobedience, because Jesus bore our wrath, so we don't get it. Okay, so that's good news. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who bore our sin, the punishment for sin for us, so we don't have to. I think that's really good news. Now, there's a lot of things I want to say. I'm just trying to think. I think I'm just going to focus on really one specific point here. So turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. Open the doors on the side there, please. It's a bit warm in here. Deuteronomy 28. We're going to read from verse 1. It says, And it shall come to pass that if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord your God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all, so here the condition is in verse 1. If you observe and obey, if you do everything which God's commanded, then this is what's going to happen. God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Say, overtake you. Now, I'm sure all of us want that kind of scenario where the blessing is just overtaking you. It's overwhelming you. It's just like too much to handle. Like, God, okay, calm down. I'm too blessed. You all want to experience that. Okay, but now if you just take this scripture at face value, then it means you've got to be a perfectly obedient. Thank God Jesus was perfectly obedient on my behalf, so I don't have to be. So I get all the blessing, none of the curse, simply because of what He did. That's good news. So all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, if you're going to obey. And then it says, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall the fruits of your body be. And it goes on, I'm going to look at that just in a moment. But it goes, blessed, 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 blessed. Then verse 15, but it shall come to pass, verse 15, if you will not hearken, listen unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now how many of you want curses to overtake you? No one. I'm sure that sometimes you felt like that, like curses are just overwhelming and things are just going wrong. And, you know, I know of someone recently, just so many things are going wrong in their family that they started to, there must be a curse on my family because of this. And then they kind of went and studied it out again. They had studied it before and they went and studied it out and said, no, because I'm in Christ, there's no curse. And so I must just reject this. And they stood firm against it. Then they started to see a change. Okay, that's another story. But Then it goes and it reverses the blessing and it says, if you fail in one, you fail in all, and that means you get all of these curses. They're going to overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall your basket be and your store, and etc. and etc. And it goes on. And it's basically just saying you have no hope. Right? Now, how many of you want the curse? I'm sure all of us want the blessing, right? You want to be blessed. Now, if you read this without understanding covenant, you're going to automatically put yourself in Moses' covenant and go, I must obey and then I get blessed. If you're honest, you've been taught that somewhere along the line, or you believed it. Otherwise, you were born into grace. And you've known the message which we're teaching, and we're discovering and learning together now. Okay? But we need to understand covenant and realize that this, the blessing, applies to us, even though we're not in this covenant. Okay? So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to come back to Deuteronomy 28 just now, but Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, 7 and 8. It says, speaking of Jesus, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he became obedient unto death. He became obedient for you and for me. Okay, by his stripes we're healed, so we don't have to bear stripes for healing. His blood was shed for you, so you don't have to shed your blood or any animal's blood for your forgiveness. Everything Jesus did, he did for us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated blood. Okay, he sweated. Sweat is a sign or a symbol of a hard work or striving. He strived so you don't have to strive. Okay, he got victory for you so you can just walk in victory. He overcame the devil so you don't have to overcome the devil. You're born into victory. Okay? Now it's easy to overcome the devil because you're already in Christ and in victory. The same thing with obedience. You get all the blessings of the covenant with Abraham, with Moses, simply because you're in Christ, which means you're in perfect obedience. I never said imperfect. You're in perfect obedience. Okay? Because you're in Christ who is perfect. Amen? So because of our position in Christ, we are rightful heirs of the blessing of God as described in the Mosaic law, and you should never, ever, ever receive any of the curses or any of the judgments. Ever. All of that judgment that you deserve because of sin, Jesus took it. Doesn't matter if your grandfather or your father was a Satan high priest or something like that. I'm trying to think of the most extreme thing I can say for you. Just whipping it out there. Okay, so it doesn't matter what your family has done. There's no curses that should come on your family because if you're in Christ, new bloodline. Okay? And so, where am I? There we go. So, Deuteronomy 28, getting back there. I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version, Lamech's version. So, verse 2. Basically, I want to show us what's our inheritance because we're in Christ. So that's what I'm going to focus on now in the last moments together. So we're focusing on what's our inheritance because we're in Christ. Now this isn't everything. This is just some stuff and it's from one scripture. Okay. So verse 2, it says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Now that's what we want. Let's look at some of the blessings. Verse 3, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Basically blessed wherever you go. Okay, verse 4, he will bless you and give you many children. There we go, I was wondering who's going to say amen. Come on, ladies, stand up, look at them. I'm joking. I'm just joking. That's good. Anyone wanting lots of kids, there's a guy. Anyway, verse 4, let's get back to the scripture. I have to contain myself. He will bless you and give you many children. He will bless your land and give you good crops. He will bless your animals and let them have many babies. He will bless you with calves and lambs. So basically everything's blessed. Everything you put your hand to prospers. That's another promise. But verse 5 says, he will bless your baskets and your pans and fill them with food. meaning you're never going to go hungry. You're always going to have more than enough. Verse 6, He will bless you at all times in everything you do. I'm sure this is what you want. Verse 7, The Lord will help you defeat your enemies. It's not talking about your neighbor or I'm not your enemy now. You know, we're not talking about people. We're talking about the enemies like the devil. We're talking about enemies of sickness. We're talking about enemies of poverty, of lack, and things like that. Okay, so the Lord will help you defeat your enemies who come to fight against you. Your enemies will come against you in one way, but they will run away from you seven different ways. Okay, this also can mean if people are going to come against you, and it's persecution or something like that, especially, you know, they're going to end up fleeing from you seven ways. Now, persecution may result in death, and that's another story. Awesome if you get to be a martyr. We're not going to talk about that now. But verse 8, let's just carry on. The Lord will bless you and fill your barns. He blesses everything you do. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that He is giving you. Verse 11, and the Lord will give you many good things. He will give you many children. Quiet now. He will give your cows many calves. He will give you a good harvest in the land that the Lord has promised your ancestors. Verse 12, the Lord will open His storehouse where He keeps His rich blessings. Now listen to this. He will send rain at the right time for your land. He will bless everything that you do. You will have money to lend to many nations, and you will not need to borrow anything from them. Verse 13, the Lord will make you to be the head and not the tail. You will be on top and not on the bottom. Okay? So this is basically saying that because we're in Christ, these are all the blessings which we have access to and belong to us. Okay? Now this morning I got the story horribly wrong, and it's on tape as proof because I wasn't ready to share about it and my mind wasn't there. But if you remember Abraham, in one of the accounts that he had, I said Moses. But if you remember Abraham, one of the accounts was where God wanted to just destroy a city. And he's like, Lord, if you just allow, if there's just one righteous person left, won't you spare the city? Won't you spare it? And eventually, you know, he works his way from, I think, 100 or 50 or to whatever. And eventually, Abraham gets him down to one. And God says, if there's just one righteous man, I'll spare the whole city. Okay? And that's Old Covenant. But think about it, judgment for a nation has also been placed on the cross, on Jesus. So God's not going to punish us as a nation anymore. He's not going to punish South Africa. We don't have to repent of anything more. We have to change our ways as a nation. But we can't now go and once again all get on our knees and say, Lord, please forgive us for everything we've done wrong and please send blessing and whatever. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I think it is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and whatever. That's Old Covenant. The New Covenant is now God's taken you, His ambassador, and He's placed you here, and because of you, there's more than one righteous person in this nation. The nation should be blessed. Obviously, you know, government-wise and the way we're running, we're violating biblical principles and things like that, which obviously ends up not being blessed in some areas. But the point is that the drought isn't condemnation or judgment from God. It's the only reason it's still persisting is maybe because we haven't stood up enough and resisted it. Okay, so there's just something, and we'll pray into that just now. But there's so many blessings here which belong to you because Jesus' performance was perfect on your behalf. And so you're an heir of all of these blessings. Now, the following are not applicable to you because you're in Christ, right? This will happen if you listen to the commands of the Lord your God. And you must obey these commands in order to experience the blessing. That doesn't apply to you anymore. Then it goes on and it says, you know, if you fail in one, you fail in all, and these are all the curses which shall overtake you. That this doesn't happen for you. Now, as we read through this, you might identify one or two things happening in your life. You might be like, oh, but then that shouldn't be happening in my life. That's awesome. Now you're aware of the enemy, what he's trying to do in your life. And so, James 4 verse 7, you can resist the devil and see him flee. Okay, if you submit yourself to God, the scripture says, resist the devil and you'll see him flee. Okay, submitted to God. If you're walking humbly before God, you're a Christian. That's talking about submission, I believe. It's talking about the fact that you know that God is God and you're not. And you're walking in relationship with him, then you can resist the devil and you have to see him flee. But he only flees when you resist him. So if the enemy is bringing an attack and you identify one of the next few things, you need to resist it. You need to resist means actively fight against. So what it means is that you're just basically saying, hey, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm resisting you, devil. You stop it now in Jesus' name. And then you just start to rejoice in the fact that you're blessed. Okay, let's read some of these. Now, usually when I'm reading through this, if you've been here a while, you'll know that I usually skip over all these curses. We never read them because it's depressing. But it's actually something to celebrate because this is what we've been redeemed from. And it's awesome to know that none of this is not my inheritance. It does not belong to me. So verse 16. Well, let me start off by saying, we'll never be, and this is not my inheritance, cursed in the city, cursed in the field. Verse 17. Cursed, I'll read it like it says. He will curse you with empty baskets and pans, no food. That's never your inheritance. Okay, verse 18. He will curse you. You will not have many children. Don't say amen. He will curse your land. He will not have a good crop. He'll curse your animals. They will not have many babies. Curse your calves. Curse your lambs. Verse 19. Cursed when you come in. Cursed when you go out. Basically, curse you at all times. Everything that you do just fails. Everything seems miserable. Doesn't matter what you try, just not working out. That's not God. Okay, and that's not your inheritance. Things should work out for you because you're blessed. Verse 20, you will have frustration and trouble in everything you do. This is the easy to read version. Okay, he will continue to do this until you are quickly and completely destroyed. So frustration and trouble in everything you do, and it just seems like it's not working out. It's like a black hole and all your efforts are just going nowhere. It's not God. It's a curse. It's not your inheritance. Okay, 21 and 22. The Lord will send you terrible diseases until you no longer exist. Until you are completely gone from the land. The Lord will punish you with diseases, fever, swelling. So diseases, fever, and swelling, not your inheritance. Diseases, swelling, fever, not your inheritance. He will send you terrible heat. Amen. This is not my inheritance. I don't like the heat. Okay, give me the snow. Okay, so he will send you terrible heat and you will have no rain. No rain is a curse. It's not my inheritance. It's not our inheritance. Okay, your crops will die from the heat and disease. All these bad things will happen until you are destroyed. I'm going to get onto the last part there, but let me just say this. Just because we live in this town, because we live in this province, because we live in this nation, it's blessed. Wherever you work, doesn't matter what your boss is like, your company can be blessed and should be blessed because you're there. Doesn't matter how ungodly he is. You got a godly boss, so I know that. You guys, both, you do too, I don't know. You know, let me leave that. You know, because this nation, it doesn't matter who's on top. Doesn't matter who's not on top. You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. We should be blessed in this nation because we live here. Amen. The unrighteous should be blessed with rain and with no drought and whatever just because you're their neighbor. Just because, even if you don't know them by name, they should just be happy to have you here because it's blessed. Your company should be so blessed that when you want to leave, your boss is like, really, please. You know, what can I do to change your mind? You need to stay. And you know, like, you know that God's moving on, so you're moving on. Doesn't matter what they throw at you. But he knows, hey, you're the reason this company's blessed. Okay? If he doesn't realize it and you leave, then he'll realize it when you leave. So, verse 30 and 32. Or verse 32, 32. You will be engaged to a woman. Now, this is an interesting curse. But another man will have sexual relations with her. You will... It's not that funny. You will build a house and you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, you will not gather anything from it. People will kill your cattle in front of you, but you will not eat any of the meat. People will take your donkeys, your car. They will not give it back to you. Your enemies will get your sheep, and there will be no one to help you. Other people will be allowed to take your sons and your daughters day after day. You will look for your children. You will look for them until your eyes become weak and blind, but you will not find them. And God will not help you. Evidently, this is not your inheritance. God's always, he said, he promised us in the new covenant, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And he's always going to help us. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. Okay? So this is evidently we don't live in this covenant, but we receive all the blessing and we're exempt from all these curses. If you identify any of these curses, then you need to resist it because it doesn't belong to you. What God promised Israel as a reward for their obedience is now your right and your privilege because of Christ. Because of His obedience on your behalf. Jesus Christ performed perfectly and satisfied the entire law on your behalf. Isn't that awesome? That's good news. The promise of a long and prosperous life, the promise of His special blessings and favor upon your families, economics, investments, possessions, and health, the promise of abundant prosperity upon the works of your hands, making you the head and not the tail, at the top and never at the bottom, the promise of God delighting in you, His people, His portion, and His most treasured possession. It's all ours because we're in Christ, not because of pedigree and not because of performance. Ever. You're in Christ, and so now you qualify for every blessing of the old covenant and the new covenant. And there's now more promises. Because remember, a better healthcare plan has better benefits. So now we've got better benefits. Not only do we have all the exemption from the curse and the wrath, but we also have all the blessing of the new covenant. So we're going to look at a couple of these things quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. Whoopa. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's an awesome promise. And this is one of the greatest benefits of the new covenant, I believe, is that, hey, God's not remembering your sin. And we remember our sin. We remember each other's sin. That's a problem. But God doesn't remember your sin. You know, and in relating to Him, when you know, it's funny, sometimes we'll be like for weeks before God, God, please forgive me. God, please, I've struggled with this and I've daily disappointed you. And He's like, probably, what's going on here? You know, I've forgiven you. I forgave you at the cross. When you received Jesus, I forgave you completely. You're completely clean. And now you keep coming to me for forgiveness, for something that's forgiven, and I don't remember your sin. Many Christians try and explain that away, but it means what it means. Your sins and iniquities I remember no more. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is basically saying that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So not only are your sins forgiven, but He's made you right with God. You're forgiven and you're right with God. Okay, 1 John 4:17 says that as He is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are you right now. You are right before God because of Jesus. Okay, Jesus is righteous. Amen? His righteousness is 100% the same amount of righteousness that you and I have. I'm exactly the same righteousness, I've got the same righteousness Jesus has. As do you. I'm just using me as an example because I'm the best example I know. Doesn't matter how badly I perform, I know that I am 100% right before God 100% of the time. Doesn't matter. My performance may fluctuate, but God accepts me. He blesses me. He moves in my life. I can experience His presence and His provision the same as if I'm not doing well. That's good news. That's very good news. So as He is, so am I in this world right now. And then it just goes on. I'm going to give you three other scripture references which you can look up if you want. Isaiah 53:11. Isaiah 53:11. 54:7-10. Some promises of the new covenant. 54:7-10. Isaiah 54:7-10. And then we're going to look at Hebrews 8:13 as well. Hebrews 8:13 says, in that He says, a new covenant He has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So it's saying, hey, the old covenant actually, another scripture says, became obsolete. And yet so many of us are trying to live under the old covenant. The old is ready to vanish away. And then the new covenant comes and it's vanished away. And now we're in a new covenant, which is a completely different way of relating to God. Okay? That's good news. In the new covenant, God's empowering and intoxicating presence becomes our privilege because we're born again. Because we're His children. Because we're in Christ. Not because you fasted and you prayed. Someone who fasts for 40 days and someone who doesn't fast at all can experience the presence of God exactly the same if they just believe. They can experience the same blessing of God. Just because you fasted for 40 days and I didn't doesn't make you better than me. Makes you more hungry than me. It may help you to be able to focus more on God and receive more from God, but you can do that with the Holy Spirit and the Word. Anyway, we're not talking about fasting now, but maybe you needed to hear that. So you get all the blessing of God, you get none of the curses, simply because you're in Christ. So, if you think about this, this is really just a nutshell. It's not even, you might think, I'm a nut after this evening. But it's just a nutshell of all the blessings that we have in Christ. It's just really just to the tip of the iceberg. There is so much. Let's look at Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. This is really good. Colossians 1:13, it says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." As a believer, if you're in Christ, this is true of you right now. Not tomorrow, or once you've fasted and prayed and done whatever. It's true of you now. Who has, past tense, so say has. Delivered, say delivered. It's past tense. As from the power of darkness. Darkness has no power over you. Jesus has set you free. If it has power over you, it's not God's fault. Somehow you and the enemy made a deal or something, I don't know. But somehow it got in and it's illegitimate. It has no right in your life. It's a lie. Okay, you've been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated, completely transferred into the kingdom of light of Jesus. So that means you've been, all the curses and all the negative things and darkness, you've been taken out of that and you've been placed into Christ. You've been placed into blessing. You're out of curses. There's no place for any curse in your life. Amen. At all, ever. Amen. Because you've got a new bloodline. And because you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, just think about it. How can the enemy throw a curse at Jesus? Think about it like that. Because sometimes we think about it as, yeah, okay, then people will think, okay, but when I step out of Christ, then the enemy can throw curses at me. You can't step out of Christ. You're fixed in Christ. It's your fixed position. Go read Ephesians. Get the I Am devotional. You're in Christ. You're in a fixed place of blessing, which means you cannot be cursed or unblessed or whatever you want to say. Okay? So, I mean, our response to this is really just, it should be awe. Like, wow, God, you're amazing. We should be having worship now and not in the beginning. Just because it's like, wow, God, you're awesome. Thank you. This is such a blessing. You know, one of the responses we can have to this is if we start considering the old covenant and the new covenant and we try and mix them, it's ludicrous. It's crazy. It's stupid, actually. Deliberately mixing the old or co-associating old and new covenants, and if you're saying that the old covenant is still relevant for the Christian's life, it's actually antichrist. Because it's working against what Jesus came to do. He came to fulfill the law for you so you don't have to, and then make it obsolete so that you could live in a new covenant. Okay? So, under Abraham, it was a case of you're born right, now you receive the blessing. Under Moses, it was you're born right, now you also behave right and you receive blessing, but when you don't behave right, you get all the wrath and all the cursing. In Christ, no wrath, no curse, no judgment, blessing. Because of His perfect obedience and His perfect pedigree. That's where you and I stand. And if you can understand that, it'll help you to be able to enjoy Christianity, enjoy a relationship with God, and get the most out of it. If you're not enjoying it, it's probably because you don't understand how God relates to you. And how He looks at you and how He sees you. Amen. So, let's close our eyes. Father, I want to thank You that because we're in You, we're blessed, we're highly favored. and we're just extremely prospered. We're blessed, blessed, blessed. Not because of our performance, not because of our holiness, not because of anything we've done right, haven't done right, not because we're born into the right family or the wrong family, but just because we're born again, born into Christ, and now that because we believed on Jesus, we don't have to do right, but we are right because we believe right. Thank you, Father. That is just amazing. Thank you that our workplaces and our families, doesn't matter how many unbelievers there are around us in this nation, doesn't matter how many ungodly people there are, we should be blessed because we live here. And so, Father, we right now also just thank you that we can take authority and command things to happen. And we just thank you that the dams will get full again. We command rain to come over the next week and to 2 weeks. And that things would just start to turn around, that we would not have any further drought, but things would just supernaturally turn around. We command rain to come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that all the dams will be full. That we will not lack like this again in the name of Jesus. We speak blessing and peace over our nation and over all the turmoil that's happening everywhere. We thank you, Father, that you cause men and women, your ambassadors with your message to rise up and to preach your truth, your gospel, that it would change hearts and change lives, and that things would start to turn around and turn around more effectively. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that you know when we're in Christ, it bridges every single racial barrier, and so that we would get, you know, we would start to promote that as the answer. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you that it's simple just to experience your blessing and your presence and to experience relationship with you. All we need to do is believe and receive. All we need to say is, thank you, Father, I'll have that. And before we go into a time of communion where we can celebrate that relationship, that friendship with God, just while everyone's eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity, if you've never received Jesus, to do so tonight. You know, basically what I mean is if you've never made a decision to become a Christian, then now's your opportunity. You know, it's you're not born into a Christian family. You can be born into a Christian family, but you don't have a relationship with God until you make that decision personally and you accept Him for yourself. And so, you know, if you've never made that decision and said, Father, I want to be your child. I want to receive forgiveness of my sins. I want to be a Christian. Then I want to give you an opportunity before we go into a time of communion together, because communion is a time for believers. So if that's you, then just stare me out for a moment while no one's looking around and just wait until I acknowledge you. Just say, hey, just look at me in a way where I know that we're talking to each other. Is there anybody here where you're saying, hey, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. Going once. Going twice. Okay. I know that all of us are born again then. And Father, I thank you that as your children, as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we partake of communion, I thank you that we're celebrating the complete finished work and we can enjoy everything, all the benefits that we have in you because of your obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.